Well, all right, as Steve said, surprise, I'm not John. I'm Shane Seegers. I'm one of the pastors here at Centerpoint, and I'm so excited about the message that I have for you today. Continuing on in our series, Why Do We Do That? And the emphasis today is, why do we challenge people to take next steps? Have you ever heard us say, what's your next step here at Centerpoint? Well, we want to talk about that because when I was first... when I started really walking with Christ myself. Notice I said walking with Christ, because that's usually how we talked about. Tell me about your walk with Jesus. You know, now we say, well, tell me about your relationship with Jesus. It is a relationship, but when I was kind of in college, that was the lingo, the terminology. How's your walk? You know, how are you doing it? And how are you living? How are you putting these things into practice? And I still love that imagery when we talk about a relationship with Jesus, because it's really a journey of transformation. And everything changes on this journey. My destination changed. I knew when I was in control of where I wanted to go, where I was trying to go. But when Jesus took control of my life, my destination changed. My companions on my journey changed. Those who began to help me want to become more like Christ, to experience more of what he had for me. Those were the ones who started becoming more and more a part of my life, and I'm so thankful I did. Because they are the ones who God used to change me. And also on that journey, you know, my decisions began to change. Because a journey, a walk is step by step. It's decision by decision. It wasn't just big decisions, it was the little things and how I dealt with the people on the journey. And ultimately, again, what I found is that God was changing me on this journey. And that's why we always talk about next steps. Because sometimes we can get into ministry and we can put our eyes on the wrong target. I say it like this, we put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. Y'all know, y'all have heard me say that before, where we start focusing on things that aren't as important as the main thing. If we went to Hyundai and we asked them, what are you making? And they told us anything but cars, we'd say, that's a surprise, you're a car maker. Well, sometimes at church, we lose the focus on really what our goal is, which is to make fully devoted followers of Jesus. Amen. That's why we're here. It's not, do we want to have inspiring meetings? Yes. Do we want to have impactful outreaches? Yes. But there's a purpose for all of it. It's to accomplish the will of the Father, not just what we want to do for him. I found that when I wasn't a believer, I wasn't even interested in doing what God wanted to do. I just wanted to do what I wanted to do. And let me just tell you, there weren't a whole lot of those things worth keeping. But when I became a believer, there was also this desire where I had what I call a holy ambition. There were things I wanted to do for God. But what I began to find out is that sometimes I could rely upon my own strength to figure out how to get that and to bring it about. And I found out that even those things I wanted to do for God were like small-minded and lopsided pursuits. They weren't all that what God had for me. He had so much more. And do you know God has more for you? He does. I'm going to pray today, and I want you to join with me. I want us to pray that our hearts will be open to hearing not just what we want from God, or even just what we want for God, but that we're going to pray for what God wants. And what that might look like in our lives. Would y'all pray that with me? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity that we have to be together. God, to talk about our journey, our walk, our continual relationship with you, and how we need to take next steps to be all that you want us to be. And God, that's the kind of church we want to be. Why do we do that? Not because what we want for you or what we want for ourselves, but God, what you want. And so unless you give us the direction, unless you go with us, unless you empower us, we're lost. We need you. So would you speak to us today? Would you move me to the side? And would your word be all that's heard today? And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to talk about that. Why do we challenge people to take next steps? In your bulletin, there was a sermon outline. You can take this out, and we'll just follow right through it. And I want to start off with point A there. Well, this is the reason why we want people to take next steps. Because God wants you to become like Jesus. Is that good news? I mean, you know, come on, y'all gave Steve an amen, and he didn't even do anything. He just said, there's a video out here. I'm not even trying to tell y'all to encourage me. I'm saying this is what God wants for you. This is good news. That's, God wants you to be like him. He has life. He has life to the full. He's wanting you to experience this life, to become like Christ. And guess what? Your church, so do we. We're not interested in just what's our reputation in church. Do we want to have a good reputation? Do we not want to be something that is not something that would reflect well on Christ? Of course we do. But if we always walk around thinking about ourselves, you know who you can't be thinking about? Jesus. And that's the kind of church we want to be. Now, listen to this. This is from Paul writing in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. So, God is always making a people. Because he can accomplish anything. He doesn't need people to do, but he wants relationships. He's always creating a people. And we are his people, the church. And he said, and what I'm doing in the church is I'm going to give the church these gifts because there's something I want to accomplish in your life. And these are the gifts he gives. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And these people, these gifts that God gives to the church have a purpose because he wants them to do something. It's not like China that I got for my wedding, which honestly, we didn't even give it China because we don't use China. We got regular plates because we wanted to use them because they were purposeful. And God has a purpose for us, and he gives us gifts that are good. And these are, this is their responsibility, to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. That's why we do what we do. It's because we want to be in step with what God wants for you, and that is to build you up so that you can do the things that God wants you to do. Now, what will that look like? This will continue. So we're going to keep doing this. We're going to keep doing these steps. We're not going to one day wake up and go, you know what? Maybe we should do something else. We don't set the agenda. It's God's church, God's purpose, and he gives us everything we need to accomplish that. And he's given us people to help us do this. And it says, we're going to continue on this until all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son. Listen to this. That we will be mature in the Lord. You know why we do challenge people to take next steps? Because we're not mature. We're just like when we come into this world. We're infants. We're babes. And then we go through a process where we become more mature. In our family, we had four boys. My wife and I had four boys, and they were a handful. I went gray at like 28. I couldn't take it. I'm just glad it didn't fall out. But the fact is that we could not leave those four boys alone by themselves because none of them were mature enough to think about anyone else but themselves. And if they were all doing what they all wanted to do, we would come back, and there would be no house to come back to. And so we would have to farm our kids out, otherwise known as babysitting, get someone to come in and watch our children who was mature enough to be able to be responsible for themselves so that they can make good choices that would take care of the others. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to become mature. And really what that comes down to is we're not just people who are driven by our own desires. We're able to want something else than just what we want. We're able to choose what is right because we know with wisdom what's best. That's right. And this is what God wants for us. He wants us to be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ, that there's nothing lacking in our lives, that we become like him. Because no one was more mature that was willing to choose what the Father wanted more than what he wanted than Jesus. And you know what? That didn't come out in his life when everything was going well. That came out in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you know what that means? The place of crushing. That's what it really means. That's where they would crush the grapes and the olives to get the oil. And that's when Jesus prayed that prayer. Not my will, your will be done. It was and he was sweating drops of blood because it was a place of intense pressure. And that's where he was mature enough to say, hey, on my way, I had to get out of this. Not my will, your will be done. See, we're not just trying to do this journey when everything's going well, because how many of you know our journeys don't just all go well? If he's not true to you in the place of crushing, he's not going to be any value to you anytime else. And this is the church we want to be. And he says, then they will be no longer be immature like children. And we won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. You know, because that's what happens when you're not mature. When you're childish, just whatever whim, whatever comes about, whatever new shiny thing, whatever new truth, whatever comes in that you're like, oh, I want it, that's what you'll chase. And then you will have no security in your life. You'll be tossed and blown about by everything. That's why we say, you know, we're a church of biblical authority. God's word is our final word for everything we believe, what we, you know, in faith and practice, everything we believe and what we do. We don't look at it and say, oh, well, today, I don't know if that's really what he means. Maybe he means this. Oh, I don't even like that part. Don't like that. No. If we're going to be mature, if we're going to grow up, if we're going to attain to the full standard of Christ, we can't just lean into our own understanding and listen to what everybody's telling us, just telling us what we want to hear, because if we do, we'll be like children, and we won't be the full standard and maturation of Christ. We'll be lacking so much, and we'll be tossed and blown about. And we'll be under the influence of people who will try to trick us with lies that are so clever they sound like truth. Do we live in a world where people are falling to lies and they say it sounds so true? But it's not. So instead, we will speak the truth in love. And I think that's real important that we understand. We're going to speak truth, but we're going to speak truth in love. Because we're not going to use the truth just to win arguments. And we're not going to just use it to bash people. You're going to use truth to help people. And that's what speaking it in love is about. That's what being mature is about. It's about how can I help you to have the truth so you can have more than you would get on your own if you just went your own way. And there's a lot of times we're like, well, I just want to speak truth to someone. Well, hey, I'm all about speaking truth. But sometimes you can speak truth and it's not helpful at all. We have to make sure we're speaking it in love, because you know, God gave us his word in love, and it's for our good. That's the kind of church we want to be. And so we need to speak truth to each other, because if we're not, we're going to be wandering and go in all different kinds of ways, on all different kinds of directions, because we're all going to be the captain of our ship going the way that we want to get what we want. And I'm telling you, there's a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads to destruction. And God said, I've come that you might have life and you might have it to the full. And we want to be a church that's always challenging you to take your next steps according to God's truth, because that's the only way you can get to where God wants you to be. Amen. Not where we want you to be or where we think you should be. I want to show you what transformation looks like. There's a picture of this bucket up here. And you can see it's a fire bucket. It's an old fire bucket. And it's what the towns used to use when they didn't have fire trucks and stuff like that. They would have these buckets. And you knew they were a fire bucket because you could tell they were a fire bucket. They were painted a certain color. They said what they were on it. And they were left at a certain location. So in case the emergency came, you know not just to get any kind of bucket. You went and got that bucket. You knew where it was going to be. You knew what it was for. And it was telling you who it is, what its purpose is, and what needs to fill its life. And see, this is the journey we're on, because that's what we want to be happening. See, we all start off as a bucket like this. And there needs to be some transformation that goes on in our lives if we're going to be a bucket that's like that. A bucket you can look at and say, it's different. Everybody can look at these buckets and they're like, I don't know if there's anything different. You look at that, it's different. It's also got a different purpose. Do you notice at the bottom it's round? Do you know why that is? Yes, you can put more stuff in it because it's deeper. But the fact is, it's of no value if you set a bucket that's round on the ground. It doesn't stay up like this. When it falls right over, all this stuff falls out. And that's the reason why they had round buckets. So when they were putting out in a fire, you couldn't just sit this one out. Couldn't just lay it down. All hands on deck, all have to be doing that. The purpose was clear for these, and it was built, constructed to accomplish that purpose. And then what you put in that bucket is important. See, we have our life, and we're like, this is what I want in my bucket. We're just kind of, I need a little bit more of that. Ooh, I like this. I want to put some of that in my life. Ooh, I don't like that. I want this out of my life, more of this. And we're filling our life, our bucket up with things that aren't real life. And God doesn't just want to be our container. He wants to be our life. And this is the transformation we need to go through. It's a painful transformation. It's not always easy to have things knocked out and reshaped and recoated on the outside and filled with different things. But if we don't, we're going to get the life that we can develop, not the one that God wants us to have. So here's a life application. Well, let me just go on to say this. Galatians 4:19. Paul writes, "Oh, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again, and they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives." The reason why I put that in there is because I want you to know, we know God wants us to do this. I want you to know your church feels the same way. Like Paul saying, you know how painful labor is? I do not. I had 4 kids, but my wife went through all that. I just kind of watched it in horror. But the fact is that it's painful, but yet something beautiful comes out. And Paul was saying, I love you so much, I would do it again and again, not just to bring you in this world, but so you would have everything I want for you. And that's what our heart is for you. We would do painful things, uncomfortable things, if it would mean you would have more life. Not because we want you just to be happy, but because we want you to have the life that God wants you to have. But we can't do it for you. So here's the application. Do we, when I mean me, we, you, me, together, do we want what God wants for us more than what we want from God? Because if you don't answer that question, you're going to stay with life like this. And you're going to say, God, I want more things in my bucket, and I want to go this way. But if you say, God, I want you, and I want what you have for me, you'll be willing to lay that bucket down. You'll be willing to say, whatever you need to do in me to change me, to make me who you want me to be, because I can entrust myself fully to you. That's what we want. Moving on to point B here. Becoming like Jesus is an ongoing process that always requires next steps. You never arrive. You never fully get there this side of eternity. Only when we see Jesus will we be like him. Paul said it this way, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, so God is working at us through his Spirit. He's making us, what, more and more like him. That means I'm a little bit more like him today, hopefully more and more and more like him. That's what he's doing. We don't just wake up one day and everything is like perfect and we're all fully formed. And we're going to be changed into his glorious image. Now, Paul writes about his own transformation. Listen to this, Philippians 3. He's saying, this is how I understand this transformation in my own life. How many of you want to know what Paul thinks about this? Because he tells us. He says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things. He's talking about being more like Christ, experiencing fully this resurrection power in his life in Philippians 3. He says, I haven't already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection. That's good to know. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree, meaning if you're spiritually immature, on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. but we must hold on to the progress we've already made. Now, since I grew up in a Baptist church, I alliterated the three things that I learned from this passage. So I'm going to share this with you. Number one, next steps are inevitable. Paul said this, "I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection. No, brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it." He knows that he's not there. And it's real important that we realize that we're not there. What happens when you begin to think you've arrived? You begin to think you're better than everyone else. You begin to think you're the smartest person in the room. You begin to think, I don't need to listen to other people. I don't need to still learn and be teachable. And I want you to know, none of us have that opportunity. We all need to be people who realize I've not quite arrived. Because I will always need to take a next step to become more like him. I'll always be challenged to respond in a different way than I did in the past. So here's our life application. We must develop an eternal perspective and resist destination disease. You got to resist thinking, oh, I've been a Christian for so long, I'm finally here, I know what I'm thinking. No, you need to be careful is what you need to be. You need to be humble. You need to make sure you're listening more intently and not leaning more on your own understanding. Because we can fool ourselves. And here's the thing. There was a curse from the Tartar people in Central Asia, and this is what they used to curse people with. May you stay at one place your whole life. I think that's a curse, because if you're not growing and you're not changing, how awful is life? That's why we always can look to be moving forward. Second thing, next steps are intentional. They are intentional. Paul says, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Please understand, you can plan to grow intentionally, that we need to plan to grow intentionally rather than accidentally. If you just think that one day it's just going to start happening in your life, you're wrong. Paul didn't just say, well, it'll happen if it happens. No, he said, I press on. I focus. He made decisions to go that direction, to take those steps. And I know it's true. You have to be intentional. You know why? Because Jesus said this in Mark. He said, if anyone wants to be my follower, you need to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Those are not natural, just it'll happen activities, are they? Because what they require are self-denial, sacrifice, and surrender. And if you don't make those choices, they're not going to happen in your life. And one of the things we want to do is we want to give you this. This is a gift. It's called Right Now Media from our church. Every member in our church, you can set up an account. You can use it on your phone, your smart TV, your computer, whatever. You go to that QR code, you can set up an account, and you'll have access to over 20,000 Bible studies, like it says, videos. It's for children. There's children on there, students, adults, people in crisis, you name it, there's something in there. The reason why we want is because we want you to be intentional seeking God's truth as opposed to your own. We want to give you every access or every tool possible to help you walk in truth with him. So please take advantage of that. Sign up and use it. Third thing is we need to understand next steps are incremental. That means you don't just make huge, giant leaps. There might be some. But we have a wrong expectation that I'm just hopping the Grand Canyon, taking these huge leaps, getting better and better. Most of what I found in my journey and in your journey is small steps. It's this decision. It's this decision. It's I have to keep making this decision. I thought I already made that decision. Why do I have to make it again? That type of stuff. They're incremental. Listen to what Paul said. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But he says this caveat. You know, God will continue to direct you, bring clarity. He said, but if you want him to show you this, He says, but we must hold on to the progress we've already made, or we must walk out what we already know. It's incremental. You can't just make a step and then stop. You have to keep taking steps. I wrote on your application is that we have to get moving so you can keep moving. This is true spiritually. If you want God to keep directing and giving your life, then you keep taking the steps that you already know, and then he'll direct you the steps that you don't know. But if you're not moving forward, let me just tell you this. You're not staying where you are. You're actually drifting further away from God. And it's deceptive because you think, well, nothing's changed. Yes, it has. You're getting further and further away because you're not intentionally moving more and more towards him. So we have to keep moving. Has anybody ever tried to ride a bike and when you stop and you don't put your foot, you just try and balance staying in one place? You don't. You know what happens if you don't put your foot down when you stop? You're gonna fall over. But when you get a little bit momentum going and you start getting more momentum, you start going faster, then you can stay upright, you can take turns, you can go further, and it all starts with getting momentum. We want to be a church that's challenging. What's your next step? Maybe it's the next step personally in growth. I got to read my Bible. I got to meet with other believers who are going to speak into my life. Maybe it's I need to surrender my life to Christ and follow it up with baptism. Maybe it's I need to take the next step of joining this church, finding a place to use my gifts to serve. There's all kinds of next steps you need to take, and you need to keep taking them. We're going to challenge you because it doesn't do any good to say, well, I'm busy now. You're not going to get the life God wants you unless you start taking steps. And the last thing is next steps are challenging because they force us out of our comfort zones. Now, I'm going to just talk real quick. What kind of church do we need to be that's going to challenge you to take next steps? I don't want to be a church that yells at people. We've had enough yelling at people. I want to be a church that speaks truth and models truth for you and creates an environment where people say, I don't have it all together, I'm not all there, but I can keep moving forward. Because that's the journey all of us are on. And when I fall down, maybe sometimes I need someone to say, hey, you messed up. But most of the time when I fall down, I know I'm down there. I don't need someone kicking dirt on me, telling me I'm down there. I need someone to say, hey, let me help you up. Let me help you to take your next step. This is why it's important, because we probably won't take our next step without a challenge, because next steps are hard. It causes us to get out of our comfort zone or our coasting zone. Maybe you know that. Maybe that's how I was. I was lazy. I was just coasting. Comfort zone is I do the things I know I should do. Coasting zone is I don't care. I'm just doing whatever I want. Some of us need to move from coasting to comfort. You need to be challenged. Hey, you know what to do. Do it. Some of you need to be challenged into a challenge zone. Don't just quit. Just keep doing what you know. Take the next step. Listen, this is the language that Paul uses to a church in Thessalonica. He says, we pleaded with you, encouraged you, urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy. That doesn't sound like, hey, whatever. Pleaded with you, encouraged you, urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy, for he called you to share in his kingdom and glory. That's much better than what you could get. And he says, brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. That was me. I needed someone to kick me in the behind. But some of us, it's not laziness. Some of us are just timid. We're afraid. We're uncertain. And we need someone to come beside us and put their arm around us and say, let's take that step together. You can trust God. We need to do that. Some of us, we need to take tender care of those who are weak. They want to take the next step. They're just not able. And we need to help them to get to a place where they can do it. We need to walk it with them. We need to take care of those who are weak. But God says this, but be patient with everyone because it's his journey for them. And sometimes we can get very impatient with people. You should, especially if you have children. But this is no different, spiritual children. And we can get impatient with how fast the process is going. We just need to keep making momentum, keep trusting God to be at work. But we need to do that together. That's why we talk about relationships. It's not just what you learn in a class. It's who's walking with you, helping you do that. He says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. That's Hebrews 10:24. I was this week at a ministry opportunity for widows called Beauty by Fire. And Lynn Benefield, one of the members of our church, had the privilege to speak for 8 minutes, and she challenged the heck out of all the pastors in the area about starting a ministry to help widows. And it was incredible. And she used this message, and she talked about spur, because the note here is the word translated spur. It can mean provoke, incite, or irritate. You know, and we got to spur, we got to provoke, we got to incite, help you. But a lot of times it can feel like irritation. Quit talking to me about that. I know I got to do it. But she made this incredible point I want you to hear. She said, when a piece of sand gets in a oyster, that irritation of that sand is what causes the pearl. And that just spoke to me. Sometimes we need to be a piece of sand that can become a pearl in someone's life. That's why you need to build relationships with people who love you enough to tell you the truth, not just what you want to hear, or just love you enough to even tell you what you need to hear. But again, we're going to remember from earlier, we're not going to be influenced with people trying to trick them with lies so clever they sound like truth. Instead, we're going to speak truth how? In love. Because when we do that, that's when everyone will be growing in every way more and more like Christ. And some of you don't have those relationships. I want to challenge you, find them. Ask, come alongside people. Your life will be changed. And finally, our comfort is found in God and not the circumstances surrounding our next step. I'm going to tell you, some of those steps that we have to take are hard. And if you listen to this sermon so far, look at this picture. You might think I'm talking like this. Here's my plan. I'm going to know the truth. I'm going to take this step and this step and look, high up and to the right. I'm becoming more like Christ. How many of you know that's not how life works? This is how my life looks. And that's probably how your life looks sometimes. Because guess what? Sometimes we don't know what the right step is. Sometimes we know what the right step is and we take it and we still step in something and it doesn't turn out right. You know, the Apostle Paul, one time, he was trying to do God's will. He's a missionary. He's taking the gospel to the world. And it says everywhere he and Timothy and Silas are trying to go, it feels like Satan is stopping them from going. Tried to go this way and we couldn't go, and Satan prevented us from going this way. And they prayed one night, God, where do you want us to go? And he had a dream of a man from Macedonia say, come over here. And he went from where they were in Galatia to Macedonia. And when they got to Philippi, you know what happened? They started preaching the gospel. And you would think God sent this dream that everything would work out. And as soon as they preached the gospel for the first time, they were wrongfully imprisoned, beaten, and all of their rights were taken away. And you're like, God, I took the right step and it still ended like that? There's more to God's plan than what you can imagine. That's why we have to understand it's not in what we think it's going to look like or what we expect. Our comfort comes from him, because even when they were in jail, God was with them. And he'll be with you. And I know that. And these verses are important to me. Hebrews 4:16, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. How is he? He's gracious. And then we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. And we always need it most when we're trying to walk in the direction that God has for us. Don't think, I'm going the right way, I can handle it. You can't. You need to come to him and get his mercy and grace in your time of need. And then finally, Jesus says this, but the helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you, he will guide you in all things and bring to remembrance all things I've said to you. This is so important because I want you to hear this. On this journey that you're going to take in this world, hear me. There's nothing in this world that is as it should be. That should get an amen, because you need to understand, if you think everything's as, there's things in this church that aren't as they should be, because we're people. there are challenging situations and circumstances in your life where you're like, well, I'm doing what God says, but this person isn't responding right, and I'm not getting this outcome because it's still not as it should be. But he said, I am with you always, and I will never leave you, and I will walk with you, and I will take you through it. I'm going to be a paraclete, someone who comes alongside of you and comforts you and help you. So we can challenge in love to take the next step, because you're not doing it alone. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to take next steps, that you work in these next steps to give us what we can't get on our own, life in you. Lord, you know best. May we surrender all this to you. And would you give us the faith to not just walk by sight, but to walk by faith and not feelings, knowing who you are, trusting your word. In Jesus' name, amen.